This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Sam Claiborne.
Leap Scoop.
It's a Leap Scoop. And Justin Davis.
Scoop.
I meant to look this up. When is the next leap year? This is such a special episode of Game Scoop. When is the
It's always 4 years from now, but we've never done a Leap Scoop before.
That's what I was going to say. So the next Leap Scoop, I mean, yeah, I don't know. When will the next Leap Day happen on Thursday?
There you go.
Wow.
Next one will be, I don't think, maybe people don't know.
That's no answer. It's impossible to know.
It's impossible
with all
to
those
know.
Leap seconds out there.
There's no way to know when the next leap day will happen on Thursday. That makes this a very special episode. Great show that we've
first
got for
and
you.
Last.
This week, we're going to talk about two game demos that are out right now that I have experienced and I have thoughts on both of them. And then we're going to talk about a topic that was suggested in the Facebook group that I thought was interesting. What are the worst games and the best franchises? There's some interesting answers there. But first, Justin, I believe you recently revisited The Raid 2.
yeah, I did.
Does it hold up, in your opinion? It's actually been a minute since I've watched it.
I think that movie is way too long. I feel guilty saying that. Like, it has some of the most incredible action scenes ever made, and not just sort of like, you know, kung fu hand-to-hand fighting, but like really such an expansion of like the car chases and all the camera work. Like, it's unbelievable, right? But like, it's just that movie is 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, you could probably cut 30
long,
minutes
dude.
Out of that. This is at least when we talked about this recently. This guy, the bad guy, is fighting here. He's just a teacher. He's not an actor.
Oh, it's so good. He's the best too. So,
what should
like,
they have cut?
I mean, basically everything that's not the fighting. They don't need any of it. It's this very melodramatic, you know, undercover police story, and like they just don't, they don't need it. So I went on this journey. It's all because of Mark Medina, by the way, because he mentioned offhand, like, oh, like I'm watching John Wick, and I was like, ooh, I want to watch John Wick, and then I watched all four of those. And Dread, and The Raid, and The Raid 2. So that's been my journey over the last like 2 or 3 weeks. It's been awesome.
That's a lot of fighting and killing.
It is. I've had my fill. It's like a little bit, you know, it's like, you know, I love those movies just like everybody does. But like, you know, it starts to blur together after around John Wick 3. You're like, okay.
I get that. And then you're also saying that you're watching the Star Wars prequels with your daughters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, they're the worst. I know there's this weird Star Wars prequel Defense Force and like all the memes and like all that, but it's like those movies are awful.
Do your kids like them?
I don't know. It's a little hard to tell because they, you know, they're a little bit too old for like, oh, Jar Jar, like, you know, they don't think he's silly. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have an opinion on him. But like those movies and like, yeah, I haven't seen them in like a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, anything that's not Jar Jar Binks and like lightsabers, they make no sense. They're so confusing. It's like the whole first movie is about a trade dispute and like the Trade Federation, and they set up a trade embargo and nobody can leave the planet. And my daughter's just sitting there like, glazed over with their eyes watching the screen. I'm like, none of the politics of those movies make any sense to kids, and they barely make sense to adults.
Yeah, that was a very strange choice. I don't know. So I've watched these several times in recent years because I show like bits and pieces of them to my son, and he likes them. He at least likes watching pod racing, and you know, likes the lightsaber battle with Darth Maul. I like the broad strokes. I like the tragic tale of what happened to Anakin Skywalker. So if you just sort of like think of it that way, I just like the broad strokes of that story.
My daughters are very mind blown that, you know, that cute little boy and now this man are like, you know, like that's Darth Vader. He's going to be Darth Vader. So it's like, you know, they're old enough to like appreciate the story on that level.
Yeah.
Everyone tries pretty hard, but anybody who ever plays Anakin is just terrible. Terrible.
I'll try and spinning. That's a good trick.
If your second movie too, if you're in the second one, like that's the lowest point. So like it just seems irredeemable by that point. And it is. The third one does not bring it back.
Well, and Revenge of the Sith is like, you know, relatively well liked, but that movie's also PG-13 and like my kids are 9 and 7. So I'm like, we might need to wait a year really on that
just
one.
Just the romance alone in that one. Oof.
Oh God. It's horrible. I don't want to say
I'll never get over how the age differential just was always disturbing. It will always remain disturbing. And like, you know, one actor doesn't age and the other one gets twice as old. It's just so weird.
It is weird. And Anakin has no redeeming qualities in the second one. They fall in love for basically like no reason.
All the time. He's either like a dour shithead or like a a foolish shithead.
All he does is complain about Obi-Wan the whole time and whine.
It's so funny. That's like the topic of conversation. My boss sucks so bad. All right, well, we're on a planet filled with flowers, but he sucks.
Yeah. They won't let me be a full Jedi. I guess that's not till the third one.
And he hates sand.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm gathering that you're not going to take...
Here we go. It's the planet.
You're not going to take your daughters to see Phantom Menace in theaters in May when they re-release it.
No. No, they do. They really like, you know, and like a lot of people, sort of shitheads online don't think that representation matters in films and games. But my daughters love the sequel trilogy because they love Rey. And they think it's so cool that she's so heroic in those movies. And it's like, you know, anyone that can't understand why that stuff is important to little girls or other people that don't always see themselves on screen. It's like they need to spend more time with some folks like that and see why it's important. So it's very cute and heartwarming seeing, you know, they love the sequel trilogy for that reason.
Mm. Well, yeah. Everything you just said is correct, but those moves I don't think made the sequel trilogy very good. In the end,
you guys are punching down now because there are no Star Wars movies anymore because y'all killed them because you hate all the Star Wars movies. Now they're gone. How do you feel about that? You're just going to get long Star Wars shows now.
It is dumb that
except
Star Wars.
Except Rey's coming back.
When we were growing up, the biggest movie franchise in the world it's just a TV show now. That's all it is.
except now the TV show is going to be a movie.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, well, this is called Game Scoop. Oh, by the way, sorry. I watched The Holdovers and it's very good. I recommend that.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's good.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti's movie.
Paul Giamatti. Nominated for Best Picture. Very good. Okay, let's see. What were we going to talk about this week? A Tale of Two Demos. I recently played two demos. One for Contra, Operation Galuga, and Unicorn Overlord. One of them reaffirmed my reservations that I had about the game, and one of them was effing awesome.
Yeah, so I guess I dodged the Galuga bullet there, huh?
Yeah, it's like it's weird. So a new, you know, new 2D Contra game from Way Forward, who's made lots of good retro style, you know, action games with both pixel art and not pixel art. But I don't know why it's just really ugly to me. I just can't get past the 3D graphics. But as you can see here, the sort of character portraits are done in a really nice, like, you know, hand-painted style that looks good, that actually reminds me of, like, Metal Gear Solid artwork. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the situation with Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp last year, where, like, the in-game, like, graphics were rendered in this ugly 3D, but there was also 2D, like, hand-drawn character portraits that look great. And I don't know what's going on at Way Forward that they are choosing to go in this 3D style, either as pressure from Konami or... internally, maybe they've lost like some of the artists that worked on their pixel art games in the past. But like, they made a pixel art Contra game before, Contra 4 for Nintendo DS, and look it up. It looks great. It still looks great today.
Yeah, we just must be so far past the point in which it's much easier to develop on 3D platforms, right?
Yeah, I mean, pixel art's expensive, right?
But it'd be cool if they got that that Octopath engine. That would be a neat way to make a Contra game, right? It's technically 3D, but it looks great.
Yeah. I mean, there are still, even like big publishers like Square Enix making pixel art. Sorry, I've been ruined by like Dead Cells. It's just, any sort of like retro action game like that, I want it to look like Dead Cells.
No, definitely. The Octopath is a good point. I never even thought about like HD 2D. Is that what they call it? 2D HD? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. I'd never thought about like that treatment for something other than an RPG.
Yeah.
Right. Doing that like Contra, that'd be so rad. Yeah,
we're looking at Contra 4 here.
Just incredible.
Mm-hmm. This is like probably 15 years old now. And I think to my eyes, this looks so much better than Operation Galuga.
And there's like, we've seen it's go, like there's a Metal Slug tactical RPG somewhere out there.
Maybe.
In the ether that looked really good.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be neat to see that extend to action genres past the strategy stuff.
It's just weird. WayForward has done this stuff in the past. They have an Aliens Metroidvania called Aliens Infestation that has great pixel art. And then they've done Shantae games, which started about pixel art, but now it's just like a really nice, like hand-drawn 2D animation. They look great. It's just WayForward is like, they're not very good at 3D graphics, I don't think. I wish they would stop leaning on
that. That's interesting.
Anyway, I don't... A lot of people like to say graphics don't matter. I think they do. Not the most important thing, but very important. And I just don't want to look at something like Operation Galuga for long periods of time. But the other game is Unicorn Overlord. And oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so fun. It's night and day between that and Contra in terms of visuals. It has gorgeous 2D art and animation. And it just looks stunning. And the combat is super fun. Maybe not. It's definitely more of a Justin game than a Sam game, I think. Mm. It reminds me of Ogre Battle 64, where you're moving sort of like groups of troops around the map, and everyone moves in real time. But when one of your units and enemy units encounter, it'll go to a battle screen, and battle happens automatically. You don't do anything during the battle. You just watch things play out. You set up everything beforehand. And everyone has actions and skills, and you can assign which skills you want them to have, and then you can sort of assign priority to them. So it's about you being like smart ahead of time, ahead of the battle, and then watching things play out. And I love that sort of like game where you get to set things up ahead of time and then watch it play out.
Yep.
Whether that's an auto battle or whatever.
This is also the new game from Vanillaware.
Yep.
Which they don't make games that often, right? Yeah. And like they've never made a bad game as far as I know. They made Odin Sphere and I don't know why that's the one that popped into my head. Their most famous one is the one that came out after Odin's
Dragon's
Sphere.
Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, Dragon's Crown. You know, and like it's part of the team that brought you 13 Sentinels, which was a really, really good. I mean, it's doing it a disservice to call it a visual novel, but like that was a similar thing, like this very story heavy, almost visual novel esque game that also had this whole kind of tactical RPG real time strategy, you know, sort of in between the story bits, you were fighting it out and things that way. And that game was also really cool. So, you know, it's beautiful. Like, you're right. It's definitely a Justin game. When does it come out?
Soon.
Looking at
it's coming up.
Oh, soon. It comes out next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like March 8th or 9th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very interested. I wonder, I can't trust the Switch is so old now that I can't. It's like maybe this game runs really beautifully and perfectly on the Switch, or like maybe it doesn't. But I'm past the point where I'll just buy a Switch game. A multi-platform Switch game sight unseen. I feel like I need to see how it plays on that platform first.
Man, it's crazy. I've played 10 new games so far this year that were released in 2024. I played 10 games for at least a couple hours each. 10 different games.
Well, and there's a lot of games we're giving really high scores to, and I'm really curious about where Unicorn will fall there, but like we're looking at like a crazy year, and I mentioned this last week, but like JRPG wise too, or just like cool nerdy Japanese games, like it's already an amazing year. I mean, Yakuza and Final Fantasy and this all at the same time, Grand Blue, people are freaking out about that game. Like it's just really, really neat time.
Yakuza, yep. And then the other thing I've been playing, I just started last night, something that I'd never played before, but I always wanted to check out, was Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster.
Ooh.
It is Doom. It's Doom, classic Doom with a Star Wars skin. I think it came out in 95 when I did not have a computer at the time, so I did not have access to this game. But I love old school Doom, and I love Star Wars, despite our conversation earlier. The one difference here is, or sort of an upgrade, is that you can look up and down. So there's a y-axis for you.
Oh, they added that. Okay. Yeah,
but it looks like Doom, as you can see. And like at the
Does
time,
that make it harder to hit things though? Because before they would just auto-target whatever you're shooting left to right.
I don't know about harder, but, and it definitely adds a different sort of layer to the shooting strategy. At the time that this was released, this was like the absolute cutting edge of first-person shooters, and it has these sort of this fully voiced cutscenes. And so they updated the visuals, although you don't have to use them. You can toggle them on and off like in a lot of these things. So I like playing with the old school visuals, where everything's very jagged. But they did not upgrade the music, and the music is it's just MIDI versions of Star Wars themes, and
oh,
it's
funny.
Great. And then the dialogue is all the original dialogue, and it sounds like low quality MP3s because it's so heavily compressed to fit on, you know, the storage constraints of the time.
So it's really funny.
It's great. It's got a cool, you know, it's got that Doom sort of like isolated, you know, lonely feeling of going through corridors and hearing enemies around the corner, but just skinned with Star Wars and, you know, what everyone's understanding of Star Wars was in 1995 as well.
Right. That's what makes it rad. No, I just like a couple things about Dark Forces. One, they made a bunch of sequels, right? They made Jedi Knight, and then it took over the name of the franchise. It was Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, but then it became the Jedi Knight franchise. But those games don't have the pixel art graphics. They switched to 3D graphics. They look like PS1 era early 3D. And like they're really good. They're really well liked. But to me, the charm of the original Dark Forces with its Doom-like sprites is just perfect. Like the sprite-based Stormtrooper and sprite-based Darth Vader, like super rad. And it's like peak. I mean, you kind of already said this, Damon, but it's like peak sort of Doom era FPS design, which, you know, like there's not that many of them actually, like, you know, Doom, Hexen, Heretic, Dark Forces, like that's kind of like the big four.
Yeah, I love these like jankly animated cutscenes. It looks like other Lucasfilm games like Monkey Island and that sort of thing. It's got a great vibe to it. I love it. I think you'd like it too, Sam.
Yeah, it came out for PS1. I noticed it did. I was cleaning up the cheat codes pages, and that really makes me wonder like why it didn't get a Nintendo 64 port, because I would have I didn't have a PS1, so I would have played it on Nintendo 64, but it's weird that it didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you can just enter cheat codes from the menu. It's super easy to
Do you just select them, or do you have to enter the codes still?
Well, there's just I know that I haven't done it, but there's in the menu you can just enter. There's a cheat code section, so
okay, yeah.
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, so we have like a list of those, and there's like codes you can enter to skip levels, and then there's like codes that are you have to like bring up some kind of other prompt. I don't know. I was just like working that page today. I might need to have you test some of those.
Okay.
Man, I miss code. I wish I could turn on paintball mode and Dark Forces. Turn on big head mode.
Cool. They have a god mode. They have all that stuff.
That's cool. That's great.
And Sam, you're still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Yep. I've been playing a lot of it. I'm at the point where I'm at a tropical island, and like there's a huge amount of diversions there. There's like a lot of mini games, and the reward is swim gear for your party. And it's just like a totally weird, I think like almost Yakuza like break in the action, right? Like, cause there's like so much side tracking and like so much weird stuff, and it doesn't take itself seriously. And it's just super fun and goofy, and you don't have to do all this stuff. But, you know, I got drawn into it, you know? Mm-hmm. I had some friends over that were doing something else that I was, like, playing this game. And kept looking over, like, what is this game about? I was like, it's about this capitalist, entity that is ruining the Earth. And you're a plucking group of heroes. But, I'm just returning some carts that have chocobos on them right now. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's called side quests, kids. Let me tell you all about them.
I'm still greatly enjoying Rebirth as well. Justin, were you able to get into it last night at all?
So I made a classic blunder, which you'd think I'm almost 40 years old and I've been playing video games my whole life. You'd think I'd know better. I restarted Remake.
Ah, okay.
Because I did, well, that was before Rebirth came out. I restarted Remake, you know, whatever, 5 or 6 days ago, because we talked about it on Scoop, and I was like, oh man, yeah, I like that game. And I was like, I'll bump it down to easy, and I'm just going to try to blast through it. Mm-hmm. And then not really,
you can't, there's no blasting through it because the cutscenes are the game. Like that game, like it's linear, yeah, right? Yeah. And like everything, like even when it's on easy, like, yeah, I'm getting through the battles faster, but it's like everything takes forever. So now I'm like 11 or 12 hours into Remake and it's like, mistakes were made, which, you know, and I'm playing Remake on PS5 and I can't tell the difference between that and when I played it on PS4, like the PS4 graphics. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sure side by side, like maybe I'd tell, but like, you know, as a game that I played a year or two ago, it's not like, it doesn't look like eye-poppingly better on PS5. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I really like Midgar, like Act 1 of Final Fantasy VII is just like so iconic. And I like those moments and I like those beats and I like that music. So I'm having a good time going through Remake, but now I feel shackled. Like, I want to play this. Yeah, I want to play the game, the footage that we're watching right now.
But you know what's funny about the music is that another piece of commentary I've had from people like around this game is like, why is that song on repeat? Because it's such short loops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we don't really play games where there's like a repeated, you know, overworld theme anymore. Like that's just not a thing. And it feels out of place. Doesn't mean you can't turn it down or anything. It's not really a critical part like of the game to have it on. So who cares? But like, it's just after playing a game like Breath of the Wild, which like handled music in such an interesting way, mm-hmm. and other games just kind of crank it up, but maybe just have world sounds sometimes. Like it's just like constant do 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 do. It just repeats. That just repeats.
Yeah, it does. It does that in the slums in Remake too. It like, you know, and like I love it. Like that's a song from my childhood, but it definitely stands out as being unusual and different music.
Yeah, the Cha Cha Island music was excruciating, and I never turned down music in games, but I did turn it down after having people ask about it over and over again. I was like, okay, you guys, go back to what you're doing. I will turn down this music.
And Sam, have you still not played any Queen's Blood?
I'm so mad about Queen's Blood. Oh my God. So Queen's Blood is the card game and it's completely like, I don't know. Like I have no idea what's happening in it. I didn't follow a tutorial. Of course it threw me at a point in which I had to play it, but, and then it, like everybody, it was funny. I was like telling staff, like I was avoiding, oh, it's really fun. You should play. I was like, no, I'm not going to, I'm not going to play this game. And I'm being forced to play. They're like, no, you can just turn down this tournament. I'm like, no, if you turn down the tournament, you still have to play the finals of the tournament. You just don't get to practice. So that was ridiculous. But then I just, I think I was able to in the match lose really quickly. And then it was a positive story point because like the character that you're playing, like that actually worked out for me. So that was kind of neat. Right. So then I was like, oh, I'm in the clear. And then I found out that to romance certain characters, you also have to play Queen's Blood. So
sure. Why not?
Fuck you, Final Fantasy.
Just embrace it. It's so good. Queen's Blood is like,
I can't embrace it. It's just bullshit. It's a bunch of fucking cards with dots on them. Like, oh my God, kill me. Kill me.
It's so good.
So stupid. And then you play these AI characters. The only reason you ever win in these games is because they give you an advantage. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm an amazing Queen's Blood player. I'm playing this AI. That's great. No, it's because you get to go first. Y'all are bad at games if you think this is fun. It's stupid. They're always weighted. They're like, oh, you're going to play an easy person. Then you're going to play a medium person. Why do you think that's easy? It's because it's cheating on your behalf. It's dumb. Stupid.
Cool.
But yeah, Queen's Blood. Apparently it's really fun though. So don't let me get you down about Queen's Blood.
It is.
I like it. Really, I can already tell I'm going to like it.
I haven't even played it and I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our staff loves it. Everybody that has given it a fair shake likes it. And it looks like I'll have to if I care about certain characters and romance, which I don't. Mm-hmm. Tifa's dead to me now. You're dead to me. Never going to learn. Cards.
If you're someone that hasn't listened to hundreds of hours of GameScoop, you have to understand that Sam just says stuff sometimes. It doesn't.
We all just say stuff.
Don't worry about it too much.
We all just say stuff.
That's true. It's just
words. Life.
That's what podcasting is.
It's true. I'm surprised there's not more of them.
Okay, we have a birthday this week. Happy birthday to PlayStation VR 2. Turning one.
Aww.
1 year old. And in that year, there's been so much great software released for it. No, actually, IGN TechWriter has a good article out today with the headline, a year since its release, Sony seems to have abandoned PlayStation VR 2, which I believe is a true statement. I think the only first party was that launch game, the Horizon Call of the Wild. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Which is just such a weird situation. There's nothing new to say about this.
Did they shut that developer down today?
I'm sorry?
I think the Horizon Call of the Wild developer, is that one of the ones that's being shuttered by Sony? Maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
We did report that the VR stuff was hit hard.
That was Studio London.
Recently.
Studio London was shut down. It's just such a strange move. It's like, I mean, everyone knows what the problems are. It has a very steep price. It costs more than the console itself. It lacked backwards compatibility with the original PSVR. But both of those would be more forgivable if there were a compelling library of exclusives to play on it, but there just isn't. Sony's like not supporting it at all. So I just, like, what happened behind the scenes? Who's making these decisions?
Like what was their plan? They would know. They would know in the run up to this launch, like, we have nothing coming out for this console over the next year, right? Like, so what? I don't understand. They're like, it's whatever the opposite of like a positive, it's a negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the console's super expensive. Therefore, people don't want to buy it unless there's going to be like a long library of like supported games for years. But there's not a long library of like, you know, games coming out because it's so expensive that nobody bought it, right? So it's like these things push on each other in such a negative way that, like, you know, like, look, like, I am the target demo for this thing. Like, I have the disposable income. I like video game experiences. I like my PS5. But like everyone else, I didn't buy it because I'm not confident that there would be, you know, I've been proven correct, right? Like, not confident that there would be this library of ongoing support for it. It's sad. It's too bad.
It is too bad. I mean, because PC, it's actually VR, a great piece of hardware. It's a great VR headset.
I have something nice to say about this console.
Okay, okay.
It will be such an amazing collector's item. I think that if you can get this right now and then get it in the box, you know, never open it, and then figure out how to get a console with all the digital media on it, because I don't think there's hard copies of PSVR games. But if there are, that's even cooler. So, you know, put that in your closet, store it in a cool, dry place, and then you'll be sitting on what is this generation's Virtual Boy, which is really cool. Virtual Boys are super cool. Did you see the Virtual Boy emulator from this week, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 3DS,
right? God. Yeah. With 3D effect. Like, you know, why didn't Nintendo do this? We'll never know.
I know. That was interesting.
I mean, I know it's like this shame spot for them, but like it is super cool. And there's like there's the same amount of games out for PSVR as there were for like, you know, Virtual Boy. It's like 15 or whatever, right? And no killer app. So it's a pretty interesting situation.
Yeah, I was following former IGN Nintendo editor Craig Harris on his adventure to get the Virtual Boy emulator set up on 3DS. And according to him, it's super easy to do. And he said the same thing, Sam, that like this is so cool, something Nintendo's totally should have done, but like Nintendo's ego wouldn't want to like... It's like, I mean, what? The Virtual Boy is probably Nintendo's greatest failure? Like, that it just doesn't...
Well,
they just don't want...
The Wii U is up there, and they put out Wii U games all the time.
I don't know. They sold millions of Wii U's at least.
Yeah.
Virtual Boy, man. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
They still put out Wii U games all the time. We could get Nestor's Funky Bowling if they would just lighten up.
It's true.
It's just so weird. They experiment with hardware a lot more than Xbox does. The PlayStation Portal is like a surprise hit. That's actually very popular. But then like, it must have been really expensive for them to make and produce and, you know, develop this PSVR 2 and just to not support it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So here's my 7-step plan. I have a 7-step plan for Sony to turn things around with the PSVR 2. Step one, release a new Everybody's Golf VR. They did one for PSVR 1, but it's not backwards compatible. So make a new Everybody's Golf and revert its name back to Hot Shots Golf because that's a much better name.
Sure. I don't care about the rights. I don't care. Nope. Just figure it out.
You just do it. Yeah. You guys just do it. New Hot Shots Golf. Step two. If you can't get Half-Life Alyx on there, that would be, it would be huge to have that as, you know, a console exclusive for that game. For whatever reason you can't do that, you do have shooter franchises you can put on it. Resistance and Killzone. Just make a good entry in those franchises in VR. Step three, bring back Warhawk, the vehicular combat game with both ground-based and aerial vehicles. It was third person based, but just put us in the cockpit in this sort of vehicular combat game. Mm-hmm. Step four, bring back Eye of Judgment, the PlayStation Ooh. Eye card game, which was good. We gave an 8 out of 10, by the way, back on the PS3. Bring that
Is it
back.
A card game, so the camera like shows the monsters on the cards.
Yeah,
I have an Eye of Judgment story. I may not have even. What year did that game come out? Sorry, one sec.
What year is it?
Eye of Judgment. 2007. So I was newly married. Mm-hmm. We my wife and I are running errands or something. We went to Target. I bought Eye of Judgment with the pack. It came with the camera and a whole thing, a pack of cards. It's like expensive. And then we're running errands, and then, you know, we stop to go to the next errand, and she's like, are you going to come in with me? And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay here and look. I want to stay in the car and flip through my nerd cards. But they were in like a blister pack, and she's like, you're not going to be able to open it. You're going to need to wait until we get home and get a pair of scissors. I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll like bite it open or something, because it was in that one of those crappy plastic things. And then I'm trying to tear it open so that I can look at my nerd cards. And the corner of it ends up like slicing my finger, and I'm bleeding everywhere in the car. And she comes back to me like I've got these like Kleenexes, and I'm trying to like stop bleeding, and I'm like getting blood over everything. And she's like, what the hell happened? But I wanted to get into that pack and see my nerd card so bad that I couldn't wait to get home and open it correctly with a pair of scissors. And that's my story about Eye of Judgment. Cool. And then I played the game one time, and the AR stuff barely worked. It was gimmicky, and then I never played it again.
Oh, no.
Cool.
So we call that the Queen's Blood experience.
I do have, right in that closet back there, I still have my Eye of Judgment cards, though. So that's pretty cool. I wonder if they're worth something.
Blister pack destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, step five, bring back War of the Monsters, which was published by Sony back on PlayStation 2. That was the giant monster kaiju fighting game where you destroy the cities, and I can see that working both in third and first person. Step six, bring back Jumping Flash, which they made two of for the original PlayStation, and that's a first-person platformer where you're a robot rabbit and you jump really high, and that would look really cool in VR, jumping like way, way high up off the ground from platform to platform. And step seven, bring back Bushido Blade, the one-hit kill, dismemberment, weapons-based fighter from Square, just Squaresoft at the time. Back in the day, it had a first-person mode. Time to bring that back, put that in PSVR 2. Mm-hmm. And Sony, if you do
that... Was that a sneaky game?
Is it what now?
Was that a sneaky game?
No, it's a fighting game. One-on-one fighting game.
Okay.
With weapons.
Oh, fighting, okay.
That was more... It tried to realistically treat... You could, you know, kill your opponent with one slash of your katana.
That was the one. That's what I was going to say. It's like, that was the one, if you got him just right, it would be like a one hit kill.
Yeah.
This is more. I like that you're just specifying in your 7-step plan, Damon, that they need to make the games good.
Yep. That's an important part of it as well.
Just make them good.
Okay. Well, I will just throw it out there that even if they did all the 7 those things, I don't think they would sell any more PlayStation VRs.
But important update, Eye of Judgment cards are not valuable at all. You can get like you can get 100 packs of them for $20 on eBay.
see, look at this beautiful footage of Bushido Blade and tell me this isn't going to sell PSVR2s.
Yeah, I think those are probably the best choices for PSVR2. I'm not knocking your plan. I'm knocking the idea that people want things on their face right now. This is amazing, by the way. I don't think this is going much better for Apple, frankly, right now either.
No, it's
not. Oh, I don't know about that. You don't think so? I think the Vision Pro has some buzz behind it. It's so expensive. Well,
they canceled their car.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of things increasing in value, and
what's happening in this footage? What is this game? This is a fighting game?
Yeah, but obviously the arenas are way too big.
Yeah.
That's what's happening? This person's just running away because their life bar is low? That's what you can do in this game?
Yeah.
They just don't want to fight. Away.
Can you just go around a circle and run forever?
But I don't like remember this arena at all. Yeah. Okay, Bushido Blade. Anyway.
Well, that was great.
Speaking of things increasing in value, and speaking of Final Fantasy VII... Sam, were you aware that the original Final Fantasy VII from 1997 has had a misprint on certain copies? And that a sealed version of that goes for over $6,000 today?
Sealed version, yeah. But is that because you don't know if the is the misprint on the
it's on the back
on the
of it's on the back of the box, and in one of the there's a quote about it from a review that called it a masterpiece, like and the eye in masterpiece is floating like off the side of the word.
Funny, yeah. Off to check my copy.
I still, yeah, I want to go check mine now.
So yeah, a box copy of that over $6,000. And why this is funny is that in Japan, there's another misprint with the, physical
the
versions
one,
of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. The disc comes on two discs. One's a play disc and one is a data disc, but the labels are swapped. as is tradition, there is a misprint.
I mean, it's like, does somebody lose their job over that? It's like, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, we're all human and we all make mistakes and they put out, you know, a PSA, hey, the discs are wrong, don't worry about it. But on the other hand, it's like, that's like a big chunk of somebody's entire job is doing like final checks on like those packaging and those art files and stuff.
Well, I mean,
get it right.
I'm sure it probably, it could have happened at the manufacturing plant. So maybe it isn't even Square Enix's fault.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed that like when our original Final Fantasy VII guide and references to the Final Fantasy VII are frequently make use of this, but they talk about what disc you're on. Mm-hmm. It's like the guide is that one three disc? Maybe it's just two.
Seven was three discs.
So yeah, so it's like you're the disc like walkthrough is broken up into disc one, disc two, disc three, and then the chapters on those discs, which is like so multimedia 90s. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, disc one was like Midgar, and then disc two was basically the whole rest of the game, and then disc three was kind of just the end and the climax, and that's mostly because the FMV, the file sizes on the videos were so huge that like,
Joe was trying to show us the misprinting there. I don't.
Oh,
I can't tell from where I'm sitting back here, but there's
it's there's very silly if it's that
floating off to the side.
Well, we'll have to verify what the sold prices are for this.
Yeah,
the asking price, that is really high. It'd be really cool if they did editions of this then with three discs in the old jewel cases that last about 2 seconds.
Yeah, that would have been good, actually.
That is a cute idea.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What are some of the worst games and the best franchises? And shout out to Will Rakowski and Scoop Nation who posted this question in the Facebook group. For example, what would be the worst Super Mario game? And would it be the Lost Levels, just because it's like unfairly hard? Or would it be Super Mario Run, because nobody cares about that?
Oh, that game had its day.
Yeah, it had its minute.
If Mario Run counts, it's definitely Mario Run. But I would posit that like we should stick to like the console games only.
Mm, okay.
In that case, there we have Mario's Time Machine, Mario's Missing on Super Nintendo and NES.
But
those aren't and they're not Super Mario. Yeah, games.
I was saying Super Mario.
Not the Super Mario.
Because
the platformers.
What about 64DS? That one is loathed.
Is it? Yeah, loathed?
It added. Well, the control scheme was tough. I mean, they did the best. Remember it had that thumb strap thing because there was no analog pad on the original DS? Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. And it added 40 or 50 stars, which is actually pretty cool. But like none of the stars they added are that interesting.
Hmm.
I mean, if we're talking like mainline Mario games only, Lost Levels is a very good candidate. I would personally say Mario Sunshine as well.
Wow.
It's it's by far the worst 3D Mario.
Oh, I like it better than Galaxy or Galaxy 2. I like the hub world. I think it's really cool.
It hurts my heart.
The new Super Mario Brothers series I think is kind of a low point. And I just think new Super Mario Brothers vanilla on DS it's just bad. I think that game's a bad game, but it's not worse than Lost Levels.
I get them all mixed up. I can't ever remember which is which because there's four of them, right? There was two on the DS and then there was Wii and Wii U. Like New Super Mario Brothers U, I remember being just boring and kind of a nothing game.
And they did New Super Luigi U for it too, which was great. For it.
Yeah.
So
hard. I think it's Lost Levels. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Super Mario Brothers 2 Japan. It's a crappy game. It's not fun to play. Mm-hmm. It has some redeeming qualities, like the poison mushroom is funny.
Yeah.
I don't think IGN has ever given a really low score to any Super Mario game, but I think New Super Luigi U we gave like a 7, and that's like the lowest we've ever given.
Oh, it's so good though. Man, it's like one of the best DLCs. That makes me sad.
You have those derpy Luigi jumps. It makes it that they built the puzzles around, which I think is what I need.
What's the worst Zelda game? And again,
Zelda like 2.
The Philips CDI games would be too easy. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And I should point out, it's possible that the worst game in the series could still be pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would say like Phantom Hourglass, something like that for it.
I was wondering those two games or Spirit Tracks. Although I was looking back, we gave Spirit Tracks a 10 out of 10.
What? You know what's weird? I did the full guide for that, which is a lot of work, and it was over Thanksgiving, and I should hate it, but I loved it. I loved it.
Spirit Tracks?
It should have ruined the game for me, but it really helped me enjoy the game for whatever reason, because it probably got me over some hurdle that other people did. I really like the Wind Waker universe. Mm-hmm. I think it was like cool that it was set there. I just thought it was... I didn't like Phantom Hourglass as much, but I like Spirit Tracks.
Yeah. Watching this footage, Spirit Tracks might be the only Zelda game ever that I haven't finished. I don't even think I was a games journalist yet. I think I was just a gamer, and I'm like, I'm not having a good time, and just closed my DS and never opened it back up again.
Some people might say Zelda 2, The Adventure of
Link. I would say Zelda 2.
Yeah, famously so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I know people like this kind of like the prequels now, but like I think Twilight Princess had like a dip in its popularity for a while, and so did Skyward Sword. Those games, like, I go back to play all of these Zelda games frequently, and, like, Twilight Princess, like, sucks to go back and play. Like, it really does have hours and hours and hours of nonsense to get through, and then you just get, like, strung through the first couple dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
Right through the Fire Temple, there's just no Zelda about it. It's just, do these tutorials, play these things, and then finally they're like, okay, here's a little open world for you to go out in and collect bugs. And, like, it's just not great. So, you know, would I put that behind Zelda 2? Like, I doubt it, but like, I like Zelda 2 now because I forced myself to play it with a guide. And I was like, this is a quirky, cool game that like most stuff from Zelda originates from that's not in the first game. All the names, lots of concepts. Like there's just tons of Zelda 2 DNA in a lot of the other games. And it's just neat. It's impossible. Like, you know, without save states, beating the last boss is impossible, but somehow children did it at the time.
Yeah.
But hey, children beat everybody at first-person shooters now, so
that's
just the state of things.
There's the Hyrule Warriors games, too. I don't know if we count those, but
yeah,
those would be count, something else, I'm not interested in.
I tried to play those. They're not very fun.
No. The worst Resident Evil. 6?
Yes.
I mean, it's like a, it's
don't
an easy
they get
punching
really bad on, aren't there like ones on PlayStation era that are like bad though? Like the
1, 2 and
the tank
three,
control I mean, ones.
Well, I mean, but it's like at the time, you know, they were incredible. It's like Tomb Raider. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I think 6, I mean, 6 is the last one I played. I'm like, I don't need to do this anymore.
It's brutally bad. I don't know why either. It doesn't make sense. It looks good, as it should be, you know, set at a cool time. Like everything kind of makes sense for this to rule, but then boy, is it bad.
Well, I mean, what a, like, what a turnaround. Like, yeah, it's bad. And like then 7 was so good. And then that's when we also started the remake era after 6, like Capcom absolutely righted the ship, right? Like good for them.
The Revelations games are even a little bit better than this. Yeah, also, Revelations has a famously misprinted box art.
Really?
Remember that? Resident Evil Revelations?
Oh, wow.
That's no, so I didn't remember that.
It's on the spine, too. So if you have it lined up with everything else.
Oh, I remember that now. Yeah.
That's
good. Yeah. On the, it was, yeah.
Capcom has a couple of those, including one involving IGN. The Okami Wii box art include the IGN logo on it. I love it. What's the worst Mario sports game? We gave Mario Tennis Ultra Smash on Wii U a 4.8.
I can't.
Yeah, like, that was a pretty dull game.
I was going to say, we're talking
about the worst game in the best series. Is Mario Sports a best series?
Well, I'm just...
Mario Golf is.
Sorry, I was just trying to think of...
I know.
Just franchises.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Virtual Boy one is not the worst one. I'm sticking by that.
Mario Tennis on Virtual Boy, that one's okay.
Yeah.
I was a little worried, because if we do Final Fantasy, I'm worried someone's going to say 15, and then I'm going to get all heated about it.
Let's do Final Fantasy. I don't think... Surely 15 is not worse than the 13 trilogy, right?
Right, yeah.
I think most people would think 15's worse. As it's well documented on GameScoop, I have a real soft spot for 15.
Well, people don't like 2...
I was going to say, I think the actual answer is 2, and, you know, the original 2, not 4, which was called 2 when it came out.
Yeah, it's like Zelda, right? Like, the misstep is right really early on.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also like Zelda in the sense that it changed too much. Like, it's got this really weird battle system that's hard to understand, and the way, lots of other RPGs have done this thing, but 2's biggest sin is that the way your characters get stronger is like use swords more, and then they're stronger at swords and get hit more and their defense goes up. And that's 2's whole thing. And so then people figured out that the optimal way to play the game is just to beat on your own party members. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you, like, you can spend an hour like just attacking yourself and casting magic on yourself and then just steamroll through the whole game after that.
You're inexperienced that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you do that in a fight with like imps or something like that?
Yeah. And then... Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you do. You just let them go and then you just attack yourself. And like, you know, then you heal and like that ups the power of your healing magic. And so the game is just completely broken and then doesn't have redeeming qualities to overcome those.
That's so funny. Yeah, I know very little about 2.
It also does a cool, it stole from Ultima because it does do a cool thing where it has a keyword system where you can have conversations with NPCs. Like, if you hear the name of, like, a city or a person, you can then select that to, like, discuss that with key NPCs in the game. But you can't select it until you hear it for the first time from somebody else. Cool. So it's got this kind of lock and key dialogue system. So I shouldn't say it has no redeeming qualities, but yeah, it's the worst Final Fantasy in my opinion.
Those Final Fantasy adventures can get pretty bad. The first one's the worst one. Sorry, Legends, I mean.
Legends, yeah.
Final Fantasy Adventure, there's only one of them. And I hear it's really good. I never had that one as a kid.
There's also... Crystal Chronicles wasn't great.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
For GameCube.
I like Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like the 3 remake on DS either. They kept on making Crystal Chronicles. I think there was a couple of them.
They made a few of them, yeah.
What's the worst Pokemon game? I wouldn't know, but online people say Brilliant Diamond.
I don't know either. Not a Pokemon.
Why? Man, that's interesting. Brilliant Diamond. I think that people really like the first 2 generations of Pokemon, and there's a little gap in there because I think people really like the Black and White era and Black and White 2, and then people have generally liked them since then. So that would make sense that it would be something in that region.
There is that middle, and I don't, just be clear to listeners, I don't play Pokemon games, but like my understanding on the outside looking in is that there's this middle era of like when they made the Pokemon that's literally just keys.
It's just a ring of keys. And it's like, there's a generation or two of Pokemon where like the Pokemon designs kind of hit a low point and weren't very good. But they've definitely bounced back since then and are very beloved now. There was like, there was that era where like, we need to make 12 more Pokemon. And a guy just looked at his desk and is like, what? Like, it's an ice cream cone, literally a pile of garbage and the keys. Yeah.
Chandelier.
And the chandelier. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Come on. That's the best generation though. That's the funniest thing. That generation gets so interesting because of that. Because before I was like, we're going to make another cute one, and then we'll make three more cow types, and then it went off the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about Diamond Pearl, so I can't speak to those. But the ones that I have played, they're all like such of a, you know, the recent ones are of quality. Except you have to factor in that like Scarlet Violet, you know, got bad scores and. Doesn't work very well.
Maybe the worst Pokemon game just came out.
I think it just came out. I think a lot of people agree that, especially because nostalgia tints so much Pokemon stuff that, like, you know, to be disappointed with the latest one is a pretty interesting turn of events.
Yeah, although I do, again, this is not a crazy informed opinion on my part, but it sort of seems like the Pokemon fandom sort of has two, like, how good are the new Pokemon? How good is the new gen of Pokemon, yeah. And then how good is the good game point. That sort of surrounds those Pokemon designs?
Well, like, they did introduce an apple, like in Sword and Shield, and the apple turns into like a tree or some shit.
Yeah, I think people really like the new Pokemon, but it's just the poor video game the Switch couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The worst Grand Theft Auto is an interesting one to think about because the first two are so different, and then from three on. Yeah. There's not like been a bad one.
You kind of have to include the spinoffs in Grand Theft Auto because the first two were like Chinatown Wars, right? Mm-hmm. They were that type of game. But I bet the Stories ones are not really highly regarded, right?
Vice City Stories and Liberty City Stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I never played one and two more than like just as a passing curiosity. So I can only pass judgment on the 3D ones. And I would say that three, you know, is they've just gotten better as they've gone. And three would be the worst of like the mainline 3D GTAs. So
I would say four is the worst, although I think it's probably right tied with three. But everybody liked four at the time. But the reason I say that is kind of interesting. We have a lot of audience data, and four, people do not use guides and cheats for four anymore. Did we lose Justin?
Oh, yeah, we did lose Justin. Let's see what point we're at. Yep, you're back.
You're back.
Maybe we should stop for 1 second, see if... Okay, I'm connected to the right microphone. Okay, hold on. I lost clean feed. And I am back in clean feed. I think we're good.
Okay. Anyway, you were saying about four, Sam. Wait, did we lose Sam? Okay. Yeah. You're just being very still.
Yeah, so for four, I like, we have a lot of ways to gauge audience interest, and like everybody loves San Andreas and they love GTA 5, but GTA 4 is never resurfaced as like this beloved game. I don't know what happened with it. Like I didn't like it at the time, but I know I'm in a minority of the people at the time. But like now, like nobody's clamoring for a PS or a GTA 4 remake. Why is that? I don't get it.
I mean, I think that Niko Bellic as a protagonist is frequently considered one of the best, if not the best GTA protagonist. Like just him coming over to the country as an immigrant and gives you a real sense of that immigrant experience as part of the story, and also is the perfect window through which like these games are parodies of American culture, right? And so just the absurdity and ridiculousness of it all, like he's just the perfect person through like a lens through which to see all of that. But like the video gamey stuff, like the game GTA 5 did a better job of sort of matching the ambitions of like they're trying to tell a little bit more serious narrative in and around all the craziness, and 4 couldn't quite balance those two as well, in my opinion.
I never finished 4, played it for a while and then just moved on. What's the worst Tetris game, and is it Tetris Worlds from 2001, which Fran Mirabella III gave a 4.6? That's the Tetris.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Was that mobile?
No, it was a PS2, GameCube, and Xbox.
Wow. I remember Tetris Worlds being on everything. Like, I do remember that. And there might have been some controversy at the time with, like, you know, previewing blocks or a new button or something. I can't remember what it was at that time.
They added a new block.
We live in a world with Hattress, you know?
Yeah.
Wordtress? Weltress?
Yeah, Tetris 2 is really dumb, and I got into it like just because I wanted to learn it, but it's very stupid.
The worst Pac-Man game could be the Atari 2600 port.
Well, if we're including bad ports, then I'm sure Tetris for a lot of systems like on cell phones and 2001 is really bad too. Yeah, it's a low bar. If we're including, yeah. But yeah, there's bad Pac-Man games beyond that, though, because they kept on making games that were like, this is the real sequel to Pac-Man, but it's just like a bad Mario knockoff, you know? Mm-hmm. Or that's okay Mario knockoff, but there's a lot of those. Pac-Land sucks.
I'm a little bit more of a purist where, like, I don't think a Pac-Man game is just a game that stars Pac-Man. I think it needs to be like a dot-munching maze game, in my opinion.
Yeah, so even Super Pac is pretty good.
Right.
Baby Pac-Man's not great. It's like a scrolly one. Sorry, not Baby Pac-Man. Pac-Man Jr. Baby Pac-Man is the
pinball
one, which is mashed up with a pretty bad maze game. But it's fun because it's just like you're playing a pinball machine at the same time. I know, there's such like a mid-level, they didn't reach too far for those arcade games at the time. They just kept spinning them off. Pac-Man Plus, it's all right.
Well, I wanted to point out Pac-Man Fever in 2002. That's the Mario Party ripoff.
Mario Party.
Mm-hmm. And IGN's Matt Casamassina gave it a 4.9, saying, Pac-Man Fever seems to have Xeroxed the party game template down to the most minuscule of details, but though it has the formula down, it has failed to capture the incentive to play and the depth to sustain continue play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the depths of Pac-Man, if we went to Maze, we'd just have to go back to something like, Pac-Man Plus or something like that, one of the spinoffs from the arcade. Yeah.
And for the worst Contra game, I don't know if it would be either the PlayStation game, PS1, See the Contra Adventure, or that terrible Rogue Core that we played just a few years ago. I might rather play the PS1 game at this point.
Mm-hmm. C is pretty bad, man.
C is pretty bad, but Rogue Core was really bad.
I didn't play it.
Oh, we had a Let's Play. I think maybe we did it with CJ, Sam.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I think we did like a... We played it for 15 minutes. It was completely forgettable. Like I was thinking about that while you were talking about Contra earlier. I mean, even the Game Boy Contra game, I think there's two actually, but the one I played, Operation Z, was fun. It was really cool. So it definitely had its moment. And Hardcore is good.
Hardcore is good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a game for NES that nobody talks about called Contra Force, which is really bad. It's rare. People like it for that reason.
Yeah, it's like...
And there's one on Genesis.
That's Contra Hardcore. All right, interesting thought experiment from Will Kraski in Scoop Nation. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Eric Orduno, our friend in Apple Valley, California. Let the question begin.
I wonder if that's near Sacramento, where there's all those apples.
I'm still leering from last week's loss.
I know.
Such a bummer.
Wait, which one? What game was it last week?
Subnautica, right?
That's right.
Okay. Did this game come out in the 70s, 80s, or 90s?
No.
Was it a console exclusive?
No.
Okay. Is this game playable on a... Is it playable on a current-gen console? Either the Xbox or PS5 or Nintendo Switch?
Yes.
Was it originally released? Sorry, on one of these consoles?
No.
Oh man. Okay. Was it originally from the Xbox One generation?
No, that's five.
Whoa. Okay. So two generations at least ago.
Was this game made in Japan?
No.
Was it based on a license?
Yes.
Oh, that's so good.
Cool.
I don't know. It's the best way to narrow it down now. Is it based off of like a comic book license?
No.
Is it based off of a movie license?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Could be Chronicles of Riddick. I feel like that's what my, whenever we talk about licensed games, that's where my mind automatically goes.
Is this a game that takes place primarily in space or on other planets?
Yes. That's 10.
Star Wars, maybe?
Yeah, or Chronicles of Riddick. But I'm glad you didn't say in the future because Star Wars is a long time ago.
We can ask just to get it to Star Wars if we want. But we can just say, or just ask if it's a Star Wars game.
Sure. Is it a Star Wars game?
Yes.
No, it's not Chronicles of Riddick. Okay, so it came out after 2000, but at least, you know, at least in the 360.
Not Dark Forces, right?
No, not Dark Forces, and came out, you know, what? We eliminated PS4 and PS5. So, like, PS3 or PS2 era Star Wars games. Oh, gosh, what Star Wars games were they making back then? I mean, it could be even earlier. Like, so it obviously could be, like, the GameCube, you know, like, there was the Rogue Squadron games and all of those.
They also just made like the Phantom Menace and
right, yeah, like just the tie-in games. Is the main thing you're doing in this? You go.
Was this based on a movie? Like the actual game was a spinoff from one of the movies, the mainline movies?
No.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad we eliminated those. Do you mainly fly a ship in this game?
No.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Maybe it's the MMO.
Sure, yeah. Maybe it's helpful to know. I mean, I'm not a huge Star Wars nerd. Is this set in the Old Republic era? Yeah.
Does it take place even longer ago in a galaxy far, far away?
No.
Okay, that also eliminates KOTOR, obviously.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so...
Maybe it's just the Force Unleashed in that one.
Oh, yeah, maybe it is the Force Unleashed. That's actually a pretty good guess.
TFU 1 or 2, and then there's also the Battlefronts.
Yep, and then there was a lot. Like there was the real-time strategy game that they made.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, though.
Is this part of... Well, I guess those are all part of a series, which shouldn't do that. What are the perspectives of all those? Are they all third-person?
Yeah, I don't know the easiest way to narrow it down. How many questions do we have left, Damon?
You have 5 questions and a guess left.
Ooh, it's a little tight. But we eliminated a lot of stuff. We know it's not one of the racing or flying games. I bet it's Force Unleashed.
Also, you mentioned the vehicles. I mean, I guess you don't primarily, but that might kind of eliminate Battlefront games.
Yeah. Do you play as a Jedi that can choose to have like good powers or evil powers?
Yes. That's 15.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there's 2 of those games. Huh? Is this the first in a series?
Yes.
So yeah, that's cool. All right. I think we got Force Unleashed here.
What do you remember the name? I can't remember. Now I'm going to get called a fake fan. I can't remember the name of your character in those games.
Oh boy,
what's he called? And it's like I know it too, but I just can't. It's
me
I
too.
Can't.
Yeah, yeah. The I remember the second game starts with you destroying a bunch of Wookiee villages, and then you pull a Star Destroyer out of the sky. Although that might be the first game, the Star Destroyer part. What is his name? His name is like, you know, like it's very Dash Rendar like, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very, and like the one in Dark Forces is Kyle Katarn.
I can't remember. Anyway, is this Star Wars The Force Unleashed?
It is. Star Wars The Force Unleashed. Nicely job.
Yes.
Starring Brian Lightsaber.
Isn't his name Starkiller?
Starkiller.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Nice. And that's a reference to Luke's original name and the scripts, right?
And then, of course, it ended up being used in Starkiller Base and The Force Awakens. Released in 2008 for absolutely everything. PS2, PS3, Wii 360, DS, PSP, and the N-Gage. The N-Gage 2.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What? It was on N-Gage? I wonder if it was a 2D game on N-Gage.
Yeah, whatever it was not good.
And it is available on Switch today. And I was curious if you're going to ask about multiplayer, because that might have tripped you up, because the Wii and the handheld versions had a multiplayer mode.
Whoa.
As was the style at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, like, I miss this, like, watching this B-roll. I miss this era of game. Like, I feel like if they were to try to make this game now, it would take 6 years, right? Like, it would take so totally. Long, I mean, and it would be so expensive. You can't just, like, make a game where you just run around anymore.
It's just, I mean, that's kind of very like hard. Star Wars Jedi games, right?
Yeah, that, okay. Yeah, that's true. And to be fair, those are coming out, you know, at a brisk pace. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
3 years, yeah. I've actually never
definitely
played this
remember
game.
This game having better textures than this.
Why are you yeah. Why are you playing as Darth Vader sometimes? They're just levels
that's
where
part,
you play as
that's
Darth
Vader. That's the part you're... Yeah, you destroy all the Wookiees in the beginning of the game. It's just some kind of prequel thing.
Okay.
I think you're his apprentice, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? You're, you know, it's like the whole thing with the Sith is that they only have one apprentice, but then they secretly always have dozens of apprentices. Mm-hmm. And I yeah. think that was the thing with this game, too.
Yeah. Well, what's Dark Apprentice? Is that the second one?
Yes.
Or is that just something else?
Oh yeah, that's Jet. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it was Force Unleashed 2, and maybe it had that subtitle. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a rough time for Star Wars anything. So
yep.
The fact that it came out and was okay, people were like, "Yeah, this is neat." But then yep. we were all like, "But Star Wars 1313, that's going to be the real cool one."
Yep. People still remember it to this day.
Well, nicely job. Thank you for the suggestion, Eric Orduno of Apple Valley, California. Viewers and listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that's all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you to both Sam and Justin. Thank you to Jobert and Mariah working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Did you notice how Darth Vader, like he's a low poly count character and just IRL, right? He's just a big, mm-hmm. big bunch of polygons. And like, they couldn't even get that right in that game. Like, how do you make Darth Vader look janky in like 2008? Like, yeah. Seriously, like he's like made to be a PlayStation 3 game. Very funny.
Yeah,
it looks good in Soul Calibur from what I remember.
Yeah, I don't think he looks bad here.
Oh, yeah. Right when we cut. Right, there was like a shot of him up close and like his head is like kind of sinking into his shoulders and it just looked ridiculous. There he goes.
Yeah, that does something about that seems a little something's not right.
Something's off there.
Oh man, I love it.
Good video game though.
He just force kicked. Did you see that? He kicked the air and it brought down a whole Wookiee village. You don't see that every day.
These stormtroopers are taking way too many lightsaber hits. It should be like Bushido Blade.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Not a lot of chopped humans.
Okay. Well, good.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
See you guys.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.